Brothers and sisters, our scripture reading for this morning is from Romans 8, verse 1 to 27. We read Romans 8, verse 1 to 27. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if you are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The text for the proclamation of God's word for this morning is from this part which we just read, verse 15, Romans 8, verse 15. And there we read this verse again. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Brothers and sisters, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 11 and also Matthew 6, we can read that the Lord Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, "Our Father." We are familiar with that prayer, the Lord's Prayer. But especially in the beginning of this prayer, "Our Father" is so very special. We often don't realize it when we say it, "Our Father." We are so used to it. Christ teaches us to address God as our Father, our Heavenly Father. And it is not only in prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about God as our Father. We can read it more often in the Gospels that he speaks about our Father. And that is an important element of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That through him, we are God's children. Through his suffering and death, we can say our Father to God. In the Old Testament, we can only read it a few times, that God is called Father. But in the New Testament, we can read it more often. And that is because of the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has become our Father through the work of Christ. And that is why Christ wants us, or even commands us, to address God as our Father. And today in our text, we can read that God gives us his Holy Spirit, and that is through the Spirit that we call God Father. It is the work of the Spirit in us. And through the Spirit, we not only call God our Father, but we are also going to live as God's children. We are not going to live as slaves, as God's slaves, in fear, like many other people of other religions who live in fear for their God, not knowing what their God will do, not knowing how to please their God. But we live as children of God, children of our Heavenly Father. And with that, by living as children of God and calling God our Father, we will honor God as our Father. I proclaim to you the Word of God this morning, and as it is summarized under this theme, the Spirit of Christ teaches us to live as children of God. And led by the Spirit, in the first place, we see that we are children of God. And in the second place, we live as children of God. The Spirit of Christ teaches us to live as children of God. Led by the Spirit, we are children of God. Through his suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ delivered us from the slavery to sin and death. He delivered us from a life in fear. And now we are children of God. The relation between children and their father is completely different from the relation between a slave and his master. In the previous chapters of this letter, the Apostle Paul spoke about our sins, about our guilt, and that we are totally unable to do any good. Chapter 7. And Paul teaches us then that we are justified only by faith in Jesus Christ. That is what he taught in the first 6 chapters of Romans. In no other way, only through Christ. And then in Romans 7, Paul tells us how the believer still has to struggle against the power and temptation of sin his whole life long. Time and again, we sin. Even while we know what is good, and even while we want to do good, then still we do evil. And that makes it clear that we shouldn't expect anything from ourselves, from our own ability to save ourselves, because we can't. Even after we are saved by Christ, we still sin time and again. But then the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8 that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, although we still sin often. But through Jesus Christ, we are set free from the law of sin and death. And that means that the law of sin and death, they don't have anything to say over us anymore. The law of sin and death. And that is that all those who sin, they must die. That means that only by being perfect we can live before God and have eternal life. And if we are not perfect, then we will die eternal death. But now we are set free from that law. And now we are under the law of the Spirit. And the Spirit brings life. We have life. Not because we are perfect, but because Christ obtained it for us through his perfect sacrifice, his suffering and death in our place. Christ paid for all our sins, and he fulfilled the complete obedience which we could not fulfill. He did it in our place. And now it is for God as if we did it ourselves. In order that, as Paul says in verse 4, the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. We are under the law of the Spirit. And that means that the Spirit leads us in our lives. Our salvation, our deliverance, is not something that only happened once and that is it. And then thereafter, we have to do it ourselves again. No, our salvation, our deliverance, that is a continuing process. We are delivered from the power of sin. Yes, indeed. But still we see that we do sin. We continue to sin. And the Spirit is working in us to make us perfect until we will reach perfection at the day of Christ's return. Christ fully fulfilled his work of salvation on Golgotha, on Good Friday. He fully paid for all our sins. And that only happened once. And that does not have to be done again. But now the Spirit is working to impart to us what we have in Christ. The work of the Holy Spirit in us, through which we accept in faith what Christ obtained for us. Sometimes it is also called the appropriation of salvation. The Holy Spirit convinces us that the gospel is true. He convinces us that the gospel tells us about true salvation. And it is also through the Holy Spirit that our lives are being renewed, so that we not only believe that we are God's children, but we are also going to live as God's children. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to live in the new freedom which we receive through Christ. He teaches us what it means to be God's children. God did not make us as slaves. Christ did not buy us with his own blood as slaves, out of the power of death and fear, to make us now slaves who should fear, who should be afraid of their new master, God. Paul says in the first part of our text, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear." And that is very important to keep that in mind, always. Faith in Jesus Christ is not a slavery. Faith in Jesus Christ, that is freedom. And we should never do as if it is a burden, as if it is a slavery. As if it brings us a lot of obligations and also much what we are not allowed to do. And that's sometimes, or maybe even often, the idea that many have about Christians. Those Christians, they have a lot of rules which they should obey, and a lot of things they are not allowed to. And if that is what the world sees from us, from our lives, then we don't live as children of God. Then we don't live in the freedom of the children of God. Then we still live as slaves. Then we act as if we are slaves of God. But brothers and sisters, we are children of God. And that means that we are set free. And that we live in the freedom of the children of God. Faith gives freedom. We should never live as if our salvation depends on our own good works. Who still acts as if it depends on his own good works, or who still believes that his faith or the growth of his faith is something that comes from himself, and that by his deeds of faith and his own choice for Christ he can get salvation, while he still lives in a spirit of slavery. Because then it still depends on man himself. And then we will always live in fear. Are my good works, are they good enough? Or is my faith strong enough? Is my obedience good enough? Is it all good enough for me to obtain a place in heaven? But that is not true faith. No, we receive the spirit of sonship. And that means that we are children of God. We don't have to become children of God through our own deeds, but we may know that through Christ we are children of God by faith. And Christ, through his Holy Spirit, gives us faith so that we know that we are children of God. And that is the spirit of sonship. That through faith, we know that God chose us to be his children. If we have faith, then we may be sure that we are God's children. Otherwise, God would not have given us faith. He first accepted us to be his children. He adopted us through Christ. It all came from him. And now, after he adopted us to be his children, now he also gives us his spirit. And the spirit is going to teach us how to live as children of God. We can compare it to someone who has been in prison for many years. He hardly can remember a time before he went into prison, and he doesn't know how life looks outside of prison. And when he is released from prison, then he doesn't know how to deal with it, with his freedom. He must learn again how to live as free men. And in the beginning, he will still act as he did in prison, as if he is still in prison. In our society, those people who are released from prison, they can get help from certain organizations to find again a place in society. Well, it is something like that. It's not exactly, but a little bit like that when it comes to us being delivered and set free from the slavery to sin and now living in the freedom of the children of God. Often we still act as if we are still in the prison of sin, the slavery of sin. Our human nature is still inclined to act as if we are slaves to sin. Our whole nature is corrupted by sin. And because of that, it is impossible for us to handle the freedom which we received in Christ. It is impossible if God himself does not help us. And he does not guide us. He even does not renew us and our nature by the Holy Spirit. Christ gives us the freedom, and he also wants us, he demands from us, to fully enjoy the freedom which we have as children of God. And for that, he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us how to live in this freedom as children of God. And through the Spirit of God, we become more and more convinced that the freedom is protected by the commandments which God gave to us. Those commandments, they are not a burden to lead us into a new slavery, but they are the protection of the life in the glorious freedom of the children of God. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, that we know more and more that these commandments indeed are given to us, to protect our freedom as children of God, so that we know what is good, and that we know how to stay free, and not to get back into the slavery of sin, so that we live in the joy of faith. Again, being a Christian is not a burden, it is a joy. Professing our faith. We don't do that because we are expected to do so. But because we know that it is good to believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We join the church of all times and all places in professing our faith because it comes from our heart. It is good to be a Christian. Your life is good when you are a child of God. It is a beautiful life. You are convinced that your life is much better than a life in which you would not know God and Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, who convinces you that you are children of God. Faith, it would never come from ourselves. The Apostle Paul says about the gospel in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." And that is what it still is, brothers and sisters. For many in this world, it is a stumbling block. They can't stand the Christians and their message, the gospel of God. It drives them to a rage against everything that is Christian. And for others it is pure mere foolishness. They can only ridicule and mock those who believe, and they can't understand that there are still people who believe in that book that they call the Bible. But we know that it is a divine wisdom. And we know that we are children of God. And that we as children of God have more knowledge than all those slaves who still live in the slavery of sin and death. That is not because we are better, but because we, through God's grace, receive the spirit of sonship, the spirit from God. Now, in the second place, led by the Spirit, we live as children of God. The Holy Spirit continues to work in us. He does not just give us faith so that we believe that we are God's children, but He continues to work in us to teach us how to live as God's children, to live in the real and glorious freedom of the children of God. That means that we know what is good, and that we do what is good. Not because we must, not in a spirit of slavery, but the Spirit works in us so that we want to do what is good. That is our desire, to keep all God's commandments. We don't live a Christian lifestyle because the church or the elders or the minister tell us that we must. Or we don't obey the commandments because otherwise we would not be saved. But our Christian lifestyle is a lifestyle in which we find joy to do everything that is according to God's will. We find delight in it. We don't want to do anything else because we are thankful for what God gives to us. And we understand and we know that that is real life. That is the freedom in which we live as God's children. Brothers and sisters, our whole life is a preparation for the wedding feast of the Lamb. We look forward to that wedding with great longing and with joy, because we are deemed worthy to attend the wedding feast of the Lamb. And that is living in the glorious freedom of the children of God, being filled with that longing to be with Christ, to live with Christ. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit of sonship. And we show it to others. It is a joy and a delight to live in all good works. And then our life is really different from those who don't live in that freedom, who still live in the slavery of sin and death, who don't have hope. Brothers and sisters, what is it that determines the life of the children of God? What is typical for those who live in that freedom? Is it that we do as many good works as possible, although we know that they don't save us? Or is it that we live a good life and that we do not participate in a lot of bad things, like many others in the world who live a good life? Is the difference that we are against abortion and against same-sex marriages and against a lot of other terrible sins? No, that is not the main difference. What is it then in which the believer is different from those who don't believe? What do we have that unbelievers don't have? Brothers and sisters, that is that we, through the Spirit, cry, Abba, Father. And that is what our text says about the spirit of sonship. We can and we must know and address God as Father, our Father in heaven. That we know that God is our Father, who will provide us with all things necessary for body and soul. God, whom we must address as our Father in heaven, as our Lord Jesus taught us. And in this dependence, it is this dependence on God. It is in fact our prayer to God, our Father. What is the difference between believers and unbelievers? Christian prays to God, his Father. Christ taught us to go to God, our Father, and to expect everything from him, and to trust in him as our Father. We must trust in him so completely as to have no doubt that he will provide us with all things necessary for body and soul. That is what we show in a prayer. Prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness, as the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us in Lord's Day 45. A true Christian prays to God his whole life long, constantly and with heartfelt longing. And whatever the circumstances are, in prosperity and in adversity, even in times that it looks like the whole world is against us and everything seems to prove that God does not exist, then still we trust in him, in God our Father, because we know that he is our Father. God our Father, who saved us through his own Son, Jesus Christ. It is his grace that Jesus Christ died for us, that he came to deliver us from the slavery to sin and death. Our Father, who loved us so much that he did that all for us, that he gave his one and only Son, so that he could accept us as his children. He will certainly do what is good for us now that we are his children. And we as children will completely depend on him and expect everything from him. Completely. And that complete dependence on God, the childlike trust, that is it what makes us different from all those who don't believe in God. We know that we can't do anything ourselves. Not our own good works, not our own words, nothing for ourselves. God does not use a measuring rod which he lays along our deeds to see if they are good enough. No, God demands us to acknowledge him as our Father and address him as our Father and trust in him as our Father in heaven. That we will live in a relation with him of children with their Father. Our Heavenly Father, who is perfect, also perfect in his love for his children. And that is it what the Spirit works in our lives. The Spirit of Sonship, who makes us live like children of our Heavenly Father. That means he constantly directs our attention to the endless love of our Heavenly Father, who gave his one and only Son to die for us. Our Father, on whom we depend completely and from whom we expect everything in our lives. Our Father, who also gives us the full certainty about eternal life. We don't have to fear death or any other enemy, because God is our Father, and him we love all the days of our life. And our love for him and our dependence on him is it what we will show in our entire lives, every day again. The Holy Spirit works in us so that we may stand firm in that faith, that we are children of God, and that we cry, Abba, Father. That he is our Father, that is an enormous comfort which we may have. A complete certainty that brings us great joy, comfort and joy not only in days that our faith is strong, comfort and joy not only in days that everything goes well, but also in difficult times, in times of struggle, in times when we doubt, when we are uncertain if God is still there for us, in times that we suffer. And those difficult times will come. When you're still young, you look forward to your life and you're full of plans. But know that there will be difficult times. Don't think that from now on everything will only get better. There will be moments that your faith is not as strong as it should be. There will be moments that you have your doubts, moments even of despair. Those moments will come your whole life long. Satan never stops to attack you until the end, until you die. And you young people, ask it your parents. Speak about it with your grandparents. Talk to the older members of the congregation. It is always good as young people and older members to meet and speak together about faith. Talk about it. And ask them. Ask about faith. And then you will discover if the older members, if you openly speak about their faith, that also they will have the same struggles which you as young people will have to go through from time to time. Nobody is immune for it. And sometimes there can be so many questions, so much what makes us uncertain. Sometimes it can happen that brothers and sisters of the church, that they aren't even sure if it is all true. It can happen. It can also be that some members fall back in a sinful life because they get discouraged in a struggle against sin. And the canons of Dort speak about it in the fifth chapter, that saints, that believers can fall into severe sins. But this chapter, chapter 5 of the canons of Dort, also tells us from the Bible that although believers can fall deeply, God will not permit his elect to be lost. He will not withdraw his Holy Spirit from them. And then it is important, if it happens to us, that we have our doubts, that we have our despair, or whatever, that we cry, Abba, Father. That is what the Spirit works in us. The Spirit whom God gave to us, and whom he will never take away from the elect, from his elect. Therefore, even if it is dark in your life, even if you go through so many struggles, so many questions, so many doubts, that it is hard to believe, then cry out to God, Abba, Father. That is the most important in your life as Christian, that you always go to God and that you call him Father, and Father will help you because you are his child. Even if you don't know what to pray, then fold your hands and close your eyes and say, Father, Father in heaven. And then the Apostle Paul says in verse 26 of Romans 8, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Even if we don't know how to pray, what to say, what to pray for, just pray. Just go to God your Father and call him Father. And the Holy Spirit knows what is in our hearts. And he brings it before our Father and he intercedes for us in such a way as we can't even say in human words. And that is it, what is important in our lives. That relation of dependence on God our Father. And not a prayer full of beautiful words and long sentences, but that attitude of dependence on God. And then sometimes one word is enough, Father. That is faith, saying Father, even in situations in which it seems as if everything is lost and we don't have anything to expect. Even then we keep trusting in God and depending on him, and we will call him Father because we are his children. And we may and we must trust in him because he will be there for us always. And then if we do so, then Satan will be ashamed, because he was not able to separate us from God and from Christ. And God will be honored, not by our great deeds, not by our beautiful words, not by our own wisdom and our excellent answers to all the difficult questions with which this world tries to undermine our faith, but just by that one word, Father. Then we may know, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, as Paul says in verse 17. Then that does not mean that God's commandments are not important anymore. Yes, they are important. But then we see these commandments as given by God to protect our lives in the freedom of the children of God. Then we know that it is important to keep these commandments, because then we will remain free. These commandments are given by God to protect our lives against the sin, the power of sin and Satan. And then we don't see the commandments as a condition to get eternal life. But we are thankful to God that he gave us these commandments, this protection. And we will keep them with love, because it is our Father who gave them. And we love him. And we see his love for us and these commandments. And then we live as children of God. And in order to live as children of God, we must first know that we are children of God. And it is the Spirit who works in us and teaches us that we are children of God, and who guides us so that we will live as children of God, and that we address God as our Father. That we cry out, even in the most difficult moments, Abba, Father. That is the most essential of our faith. That God is our Father through Christ, our Father in heaven. Amen. Let us now pray. Almighty God, Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for that wonderful work that you did through your Son Jesus Christ, and that you continue to do in us through your Holy Spirit. That you adopted us as your sons, your children, sons and daughters, that we may call you our Father in heaven, and that we may know that nothing will separate us from your love. Will you continue to work in us with your Holy Spirit so that more and more we are going to live as your children in the freedom of the children of God. That we may enjoy our lives because we know that our Father is in heaven. Our Father is the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And that whatever happens in our lives on this earth, nothing will separate us from your love. And we will inherit this entire creation. Because we are your heirs and co-heirs with Christ. Father, will you fill our lives with thankfulness. Thankfulness for that wonderful salvation. May you work in such a way that we show our love to you, our Father. And more, your name may be glorified in our lives because of that wonderful work, your wonderful deeds in our lives. Father, we thank you that we could receive the preaching of your word, that we could hear your gospel, your beautiful gospel. Be with us this day. Give us a good day, a day of rest. Be with us our entire life. Father, bring us here together also this afternoon and give us also then that we may be strengthened by the preaching of your word. Father, we pray this all in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.